Friends, there are people that want to silence me, want to silence you, want to tell us that we cannot hold to our biblical convictions and that we don't have the right to speak.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, once again, friends, my heart is burning. My heart is overflowing. I am so glad we have this time together on the radio. Michael Brown, delighted to be with you this Monday on The Line of Fire. Please, please give me your very best ear. Open your own heart wide because I want to strengthen you, equip you, challenge you, help you, perhaps impart some courage and to you as well. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Last Wednesday, in the second hour of broadcasting, my friend Dr. Frank Turek and I sat with gay activist Mitchell Gold, who founded the organization Faith in America to get religious groups working together for the cause of gay activism, feeling that if we take issue with homosexual practice, if we take issue with same-sex marriage, if we take issue with those various things, that we are guilty of, quote, religion-based bigotry, which Mitchell Gold, who was very pleasant, when we really got into spirited debate, he said, hey, I'm from New Jersey, you can take this. And all of us, Frank and I are, Frank's New Jersey, Mitchell's New Jersey, I'm from New York. So if we were spirited, we were candid with each other and friends in that sense in the midst of our differences when the shows were over. But Mitchell made clear before Congress in a reception where he got to speak with congressmen, he said, this is a disease. This is a disease. Religion-based bigotry is a disease. I told folks that, because we didn't take calls, that I would take calls Monday afternoon on this subject. So those who heard the show, those who didn't, I'm very eager to speak with you, especially those who differ with me. But after the show, we started getting emails because the Faith in America folks, or Mitchell, or both, told folks to listen to the show, which is wonderful. We wanted people to hear both sides. And folks then were sending us emails because they were given a specific email address by Mitchell's folks to send it, or whoever put the link out. One of the emails I received was from Pablo. Free speech espousing hate, even disguised as pseudo or real religious speech, is still hate speech. Hate speech in any and all circumstances is not protected by U.S. law. If you use religion to disguise your hatred of other groups, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Friends, I pray for Pablo. I'm not personally offended by his email, but I want you to know that what I have been saying for years, I get mocked for this, I get scorned for this, I get ridiculed for this. There are websites that will just have excerpts from TV shows I was on or from radio broadcasts or taking quotes of mine, and I am constantly mocked, ridiculed, scorned, derided for saying this. But I have been saying for years now, there has been a progression. Those who came out of the closet 40-plus years ago saying, hey, we demand equality, tolerance, freedom, and fighting sincerely for what they felt is their right to be, their right to exist, their equal rights in society. I don't doubt their sincerity. They began to look at others and say, this is the next word coming to the rest of society, we demand you recognize our rights. And then next, to conservatives and to believers, we demand you recognize our, quote, rights. That means same-sex marriage. That means gay activist curriculum in the schools. That means no religion-based differences. And then, next, we're taking away your rights. And next, we're putting you in the closet. I get mocked for that. Nobody's putting you in the closet. But as more and more things are happening and changing in favor of gay activism, which, of course, we've expected that slide for some time now, I'm being told you bigots belong in the closet. And this email speaks for others. You should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. What are we going to do, friends? What are we going to do?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We actually sent out an email to many people who called, who emailed us and were critical of my debate with Mitchell Gold, with Frank Turek, had some very harsh things to say, took very, very strong interest, difference with my position. They emailed us, and I don't see most of the emails that come in because our staff handles them, but some directly to me will be sent to me. And all of these, I asked to see all of those that came in. I've got a stack of them on my desk right now. I'm going to read some to you. But I had Randy, my faithful assistant here, email every one of them and say that I received the email and please call in. Randy was just forwarded a note saying thanks, but no thanks. But if you're listening, okay, and you're mad and you're cursing me under your breath, or maybe you're not that kind of person, but you're just saying, boy, this Brown guy is so lost and deceived, call and enlighten our listeners. Now here's what you don't know about me. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Here's what you don't know about me. I am forceful in my views. I feel these are urgent issues in our society as well. I feel that the goals of gay activism ultimately are not going to help anyone, okay? That's what I believe. That being said, I care deeply for individuals involved. And you say, man, you're deceived, you're a hypocrite. That's crazy. If you care about us, then you stand with us. No, not if I don't believe this is right in God's sight or in the best interest of society. But my heart breaks over these things. I sit at my home sometimes, alone late at night, and I try to get into the shoes of those I differ with. And sometimes I am ripped up on the inside because I feel the pain of others. And I recognize how it looks, and I ask myself all the questions. What if it was your own kid? What if it was your own grandkid? What if it was someone else close to you? What if it was you? What if you had to wrestle with these things? What if you were the one to cry yourself to sleep at night and think that God hates you or society's damning you, or you could never have a loving commitment with someone for the rest of your life that society would recognize, and on and on. And I can't say I'm in your shoes, but I can tell you I've felt the pain many a time. And that's why I told our listeners, as much as I differed with Mitchell Gold, and as much as I know that the book that he edited, Crisis, has the intent of influencing people towards the goals of gay activism, I said, please, please, you should all read the book so you know how others feel, okay? That's my heart and stance on this. Nonetheless, I have absolutely no question that the Word of God is clear. For those that say you follow Scripture, that the Word of God is clear, that God intended men to be with women, in sexual union, in marital union, in procreation, and family raising, all one and the same package, that God has a better way than homosexuality or bisexuality or transgenderism, that those things are not gifts from God, that he has a better way, and that we do terrible damage to our society, that we do terrible damage to our society when we go this way. And let me give you three basic things, all right? Then I want to go to the phones. Number one, Scripture remains clear on this. I've studied this. I've looked at it. I've got every major book I could find supporting gay activist interpretation of Scripture, gay-friendly, gay-affirming interpretation of Scripture. And it, in the sight of God, I cannot accept it as being true and right. Look, I'm dealing with rabbis in the Jewish community constantly, and we're going back and forth over issues as Jesus the Messiah, all right? And it alienates me from the Jewish community, and we have agonizing differences, and yet I can't compromise what's clear to me in Scripture before the Lord. That's one thing. Second thing is, I see the trajectory. I see the notes from people who say, I'm a trans man, bi, gender queer, who identifies as this is, I said, that person needs help. That person needs help, not for us to say, awesome. A simple question, how many genders are there? Well, male and female, no, it's not so simple. I went to sign up for a new account on Google to launch something I was doing, and there's gender, male, female, other. Please specify, or just other. These things are becoming increasingly common. You say, well, people struggle. I know they struggle. You don't redefine gender, redefine society. based on that. So the first thing is Scripture is clear. Second thing is the trajectory, where it ends up going. You have situations like Stu Rasmussen, the mayor of Silverton, Oregon, was elected mayor as a man, stepped away, came back. He, quote, acquired cleavage. He's still male from the waist down and everywhere else, but he has female breasts. He wears female clothes. He has long hair, wears low-cut shirts. He's an older man. And it goes with a girl, goes with a woman, and went and spoke with students at elementary school students, I believe it was, and got criticized by the board because his outfit was too racy, too tight, and too revealing. And they said, we don't mind you dressing like a woman. That was just too racy or seductive around the kids. This is insanity. That Los Angeles school districts now define, gender identity as your own perceptions, not whether you're male or female, born male or female. It's how you identify. For kids, you can identify as male. This one says male, female, neither or both. Friends, if people identify as both genders or no genders or the opposite of what they are, those people need our help and our compassion, not our condemnation, our help and our compassion. But we don't restructure society so that now if that person, a man who dresses as a woman, wants to work in nursery school with our kids, that we have to accept it. And if we don't, we'll be, quote, bigots. And then the last thing is our rights get taken away. People have made it plain that if I say, you know, friends, based on Scripture, we say marriage is the union of a man and woman, and based on history of human society, we say marriage is the union of a man and woman, and we believe that's best, that you don't guarantee that a kid is separated from either a mom or a dad, that you give them the opportunity to have a mom and a dad, that we believe it's best, that now it is, quote, hate speech, and, quote, you should be silenced. I don't know how I could say it any more clearly. I get the emails, I see the posts, I hear from people that make it clear you do not have the right to hold to your convictions. Come on, friends, we told you about the case in England where a Christian cafe owner was interrogated by the police because he had the Bible playing on a DVD in his Christian privately owned cafe, and police told them it was hate speech because it had verses against homosexuality. 866-34-TRUTH. There's only one thing that could silence me from talking to you on the radio, and that's not being on the radio. I'll tell you more about that. All right, before I go to the phones, just a reminder, could you join me and make this a project and take a minute a day to pray as I'm writing this Jewish outreach tool that I believe will be the number one thing I've ever produced in my life for reaching Jewish people with the good news about Jesus Yeshua? Would you do that? Just 1 minute a day. I've written probably 125 pages in 10 days. I've just been stirred and moved on. It's been an extraordinary experience. But please do pray. 866-34-TRUTH. Also, I've got an article dealing with this very issue. It's called You Should Be Called Out, Fired, Fined, and Shamed that is on Town Hall right now getting a lively discussion. All right, to the phones. Paul in Lake Placid, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
You're very welcome.
Well, sir, I just really had a huge question for you. I fail to understand exactly which sections of Scripture are more important than others, because when I read my Bible, I notice that underneath Leviticus 18, it tells me to treat my neighbor as I would like to be treated. And then it doesn't get until Leviticus 19 and 20 that it starts talking about how gays are abhorrent and all this and that. So I'm just wondering, which one takes precedence, the one that comes earlier or the one that comes later?
Ah, all of it. Absolutely all of it.
Okay.
So let me just explain. We start in Genesis 1, where we see that God created male and female, not male, female, and multigender, and that his image is male and female coming together. Then we see in Genesis 2, so this is right at the foundation, that his plan is for man and woman to be joined together as one. So that's his only plan. That's the only plan we ever see in Scripture. That's the only way marriage is ever defined. That's the only relationship that's blessed as male and female. So we start there, and then we build on it. And I do what I do because I love my neighbor as myself. Even if it's difficult or hard or I get rejected for it, I'm going to do what's right in God's sight, my neighbor's sight, and tell them the truth. So it's all one and the same to me, Paul.
So when I get beat up, that's because my neighbor loves me? Is that what you're
No, that's because
your
neighbor hates you, and I would stand in his way and say, you're going to have to beat me up first before you touch Paul. I'm going on public record to say it.
Sir, I mean, I've tried to use a scriptural argument. Perhaps I can use a personal appeal argument. I'm bisexual, and I know that you might think that's a choice, but let me tell you, it's not. Every single day is a struggle. I don't know if I can even be with one person because my attraction vacillates beyond my power to control it. And you might call that sinning, but you know what I call that? I call that being bisexual, and it's incredibly
Hey, Paul, tell you what, can you hang on for a second? I've got a break.
Absolutely, sir.
But I want you to be able – I have a question for you. So just think about this, and then we'll come back. You can answer, okay, Paul? Is that a good thing? Is that a blessing from God? Or is that an area of struggle where you'd be so happy if you didn't struggle like that anymore? You're on when we come back, Paul.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends, on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Please go to Town Hall when you get a moment. Read the article entitled, You Should Be Called Out, Fired, Fined, and Shamed. Again, Mitchell Gold speaking at a reception, Capitol Hill, December 2nd, 2011. Gay activist Mitchell Gold speaks of beliefs like mine and yours as religion-based bigotry, saying, quote, I know those three words might seem harsh or incendiary to some, but unfortunately, those are the words that best describe the disease that has and is dividing our country in too many families. All right, I want to get back to Paul. And Paul, just real quick, the Bible never says that gays are an abomination, and anyone who quotes it to say that is misrepresenting God and hurting people. It speaks of homosexual behavior and other sexual behaviors as being wrong or sinful or an abomination. But you were sharing your situation as bisexual. Yeah, I can't relate to it, Paul. I've never been in your shoes. I don't pretend to. But do you look at that as a gift from God or something that if you didn't struggle like that would be better in your life?
Sir, I don't struggle with being bi. I struggle with having a monogamous relationship because we live in a heteronormative society that says that I should be in a monogamous relationship and that's the only relationship of value. That, to me, is an insult and is laughable. The fact that one should restrict one's love is just that seems to run counter to the message that's in the Bible. But you know what? At the end of the day, I don't believe in God, so I don't believe that God has gifted me or cursed me or given me a cross to bear at all. He's not up there. There's just sky and stars, sir.
Did you believe in God before you discovered you were bisexual?
No, I've never believed in God.
Okay, that's fine.
I grew up from the biggest debtor in my town, sir. I've lived through nothing but adversity, and I've never had anything that I would blame on God, whether good or bad.
Okay, well, thanks for that. So can I respond just very quickly and give you my perspective?
Yes.
All right, thanks. First, my own experience with God has been incredibly wonderful in terms of his love and compassion and kindness and goodness. And yes, he has standards, but I found those are for the best. So it's not like some tyrant. I know it could appear to you a certain way, but two simple questions, Paul. And thanks for calling and thanks for being candid. I appreciate that. It means a lot. Number one, must society recognize or get involved with or sanction multiple relationships or partners? That's one thing. And then two, if you really love someone, is it fair to that person to then go be with someone else? I certainly would flip if my wife did that, and she'd flip if I did that because we've committed ourselves to one another. So two totally separate questions, but your response.
Okay. Well, first off, let me say that I'm obviously not like everybody else. I'm bisexual and polyamorous, which most people are not. Okay, and I can fully understand and appreciate that. And if you want to be monogamous, that's wonderful. I love the fact that people can get married. That's wonderful. I think more people should get married. However, it's just not for me. Personally, as to your second question, I'm bisexual. I have literally no control over when I desire what I want, and it's I've left people because I'm afraid of cheating on them, because I felt that I'm mentally cheating on them, because I'm attracted to the opposite sex of what the person is that I'm with, and that's not fair to them. Now, as far as am I worried that I'm not going to get married? No, I'm not. I'm more worried that I'm not going to ever have a career and be financially stable enough to ever get married, even if I did find the right person.
Paul, again, thanks for being candid with me. Last question. And by the way, I wasn't asking about getting married, but rather whether society needs to sanction all these different relationships and embrace them. Oh, okay. So my last question.
Society doesn't need to sanction these relationships at all. People should sanction them because a relationship is a private, personal matter. If you want it to be like Newt Gingrich with two women, or if you want it to be like me with perhaps a man and a woman, that's nobody's business but your own, and you're not hurting anybody when you're consensual.
Last question. Of course, I would debate that, but last question. Are there desires that you have that you have to say no to because you recognize they're wrong or destructive or counterproductive?
No, because I think that things that are wrong are things that hurt other people. And desires for affection are not hurtful.
Okay, I have read accounts of people who are 30 now, and they say that getting introduced to homosexuality or bisexuality when they were 10 or 11 years old was the best thing that ever happened to them, that it was very willing, that it was a loving thing, that it shaped their lives, and they're a better person for it. So if it's consensual, whatever the thing is, heterosexual, homosexual, as long as it's consensual, then it's okay, and you don't have to channel and stop desires you just give in to.
That's a wide berth you're drawing there, because I don't believe in pederasty or pedophilia. I think that's absolutely wrong. It has to be between consenting adults.
Well, where would you come up with that? That sounds very bigoted to those people. Very intolerant, very small-minded, very as if you're a Bible thumper. Where'd that come from?
The thing is, until you're of age to make decisions regarding sexuality, say, until you're fully developed as a human being based on biological matters,
But now you're imposing your morality and your viewpoint on someone else. Don't you see what we just did? The very thing that you're so condemning of others for.
You can't consent to sex. It's as simple as that.
But Paul, when the 30-year-old says that this was the best thing that ever happened to him when he was 12, he's looking back at it 18 years later and says it's wonderful and you shouldn't be so restrictive. That's what I'm talking about. But anyway.
Sir, I didn't have sex with anybody when I was 8, and I knew I was bi because I was with the other neighborhood
Paul,
boys.
Paul, that's
the
you.
Boys
so
looking
all
at
you,
porn, and
Paul,
they pointed
all right.
it out to me.
All right, hey, listen,
not
Paul.
Not the other way around, sir.
I appreciate the call. All right, and may
I
God's love.
I can't defend pederasts. I'm sorry.
I didn't ask you
to
defend pederasts. I asked you a simple question, but your answer said it all. Hey, thanks for calling, and I do pray and hope that God's love would be made real to you one day. But thank you, Paul, for calling and airing your differences. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You have a great day, sir.
All right, you too. Friends, I appreciate Paul calling, and I want those of you that are on hold that differ with me to be able to speak freely, and I will give you the opportunity to. This is one of the reasons why I stand where I stand. This is one of the reasons that I do what I do. The trajectory. You open the door, you cannot close the door. Put aside the adult-child thing. I mean, all of us deplore that. Every homosexual man I've ever spoken to renounces that along with me, okay? I'm simply reading accounts and people say, no, this was better. And in many parts of the world where there are, quote, gay rights pushes, there's also a push to lower the age of consent. But I want to speak to every one of you that is a friend of this ministry. You know, I get people saying, you should be shut up. I've had people say, as laws are passed, people like you are going to be put in the closet. I hear that more and more bigots like you belong in the closet. And these emails, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. You know what I thought was ironic? God knows I'm willing to stand up for what's right at any cost or consequence. He's given me the grace to do it. People who've known me have watched me do that for decades in all kinds of different settings. This is nothing new. But you know, the only thing that would silence me from being on the radio here is not being on the radio. And that's where I need your help. We have some urgent commitments to make. We have opportunities to expand and get into more cities, but we need help urgently. And we have someone who is very graciously offer an anonymous donor who believes in what we're doing. For every dollar that comes in, it becomes $1.50. Every 100 becomes 150. Every 1,000 becomes 1,500. No hype, no special gimmicks, no telling you're going to get a miracle if you give this certain amount. But would you pray right now and give us a call and stand with us? It's a limited time that we have this special grant, and we absolutely need your help. If you don't want me to be silenced, stand with us. 1-800-278-9978. Every dime that comes in is going one place only, to help us reach more people on the radio. 1-800-278-9978. One more time. 1-800-278-9978. The more you send, the more it becomes multiplied. And God knows where it'll be used.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, friends, Michael Brown here. Delighted to be with you. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. John wrote to us from Toronto after hearing the interview, debate, dialogue with Mitchell Gold last week. Dear Dr. Brown, I just finished listening to your program featuring Mitchell Gold, and I feel like crying. Christians like Dr. Turek are so very hurtful and so very convinced they know exactly how everyone else should live. It's such a bold, unquestioned arrogance. And I'm sorry, but it's also a heart-wrenchingly misguided way to live. I grew up gay in a Pentecostal home, and I know the pain of which Mr. Gold speaks. I'm a very loving, open-minded atheist as an adult. I wholeheartedly wish that all of humanity would abandon belief in gods and truly learn what it is to be kind and loving and gentle to each other. In all likelihood, it will never happen, but I sincerely believe it's the only way we will avoid extinction. So get rid of God, we'll avoid extinction. Upon hearing the message of your show, divisive, bigoted, self-righteous, wrapped in the guise of love, I am far from assured in my hope for humanity. People who are not gay will never understand what it is to be gay, nor will many ever comprehend the oppression that gay people suffer. I have to wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Gold in saying thank God for judges, because it never bodes well for an oppressed minority whose fate and rights are dictated by a stubborn, apathetic, and spiteful majority. I wish you well, sir, as I do all your listeners, even though I fear many would not wish the same for me. The singular event I can assure you of listening to your program reaffirms to me that Christians are the very lost they wish to save others from. Hey, John, actually was just forwarded a note saying that you declined calling in. Well, that's, of course, I understand that. But perhaps your atheism is due to the way you were raised and the way that you were mistreated. I have on numerous occasions gotten up publicly and apologized to the homosexual community for the way the church has often treated them. The fact is, love tells me there's a better way. And I've talked to a lot of people who still have same-sex attraction but don't act on it, or who have changed and no longer have same-sex attraction. And they have told me a whole other side to the story about the pain, but about knowing deep down that this is not how God intended them to be. After the broadcast, someone posted this on YouTube. It was sent to me by our faithful colleague, Matt, not gay activist Matt, a different Matt that helps serve in our ministry. And he didn't warn me there was all kinds of profanity, so we edited that out. And this is what a fellow who calls himself Basement Atheist had to say after hearing my debate interview with Mitchell Gold and Frank Turek.
All right, this Dr. Michael Brown, I don't know who this dude is. I don't know if he's more if he's a real doctor or if he's a fake Christian doctor. You know, those preachers who like to say that they are doctors to make themselves sound a little bit more credible. All right, now brace yourself. He's going around saying that the gay community is using these gay kids' deaths as part of our agenda. How dare you? I've been down that dark road because I got bullied because of your book. I didn't just get bullied by the kids at school. No, it didn't stop there. I got bullied by members of my church. I got bullied by my family. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Shame on you. Shame on you. Talk about using their deaths as a pawn for your agenda. Shame on you. Shame on you.
You know, when I hear that, when he talks about my book, he means the Bible. Not a Queer Thing Happened to America, I assume. But, you know, when I hear that, I think that's probably why he's an atheist. Probably raised a certain way and felt that it was either a choice of being, quote, true to himself, true to who he feels he is, or following God and living in conflict, and therefore there can be no God. Could well be that's what made him into an atheist. And it's painful to hear that. Hey, I want you to know, when you say shame on me, I'll take whatever shame I can so that you can be free. Jesus took our shame and hung on the cross so that we could be free. I want to tell you, though, it's 100% true that the deaths, the suicides of these kids in school are being used as a tool for gay activism. It is an open fact.
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. You know, it's a funny thing. Normally, I use my two-minute breaks that occur in the broadcast. I use that time to answer emails or to check discussion going on online or to get ready for the next segment and pull up my notes that I want to share with you. But today I'm sitting there like, okay, when do we start again? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Remember to go to townhall.com and read, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Okay. Before I go back to the phones, I want to address this clearly. This fellow, the YouTube video, and we're not putting up a link. It's filled with profanity. Funny thing is, you take all the profanity out, and it sounds just fine, which is a reminder. It doesn't really do any good, and it's just unnecessary junk that we could do without in our speech. Plus, Scripture is clearly against profane speech, among other things. And that all comes out of what's in our heart. But, hear me. Of course, suicides of gay kids, which break all of our hearts if we're human beings, they break all of our hearts to hear about any kid committing suicide. Of course, it's being used to advance gay activism. The whole It Gets Better campaign is based on that. Come on. Mitchell Gold's hope, when I asked him, you know, why should we redefine what society says and rewrite the Bible? Well, these kids are suffering pain. This whole book is about that. I don't deny the reality of the pain. And I constantly teach bullying is bad. And whatever we can do to treat everyone with respect, whoever they are, whatever their difference is, treat everyone with respect and teach kids. If kids are different, just be nice to them. Have them over to the home so we can get to know them. Let's be friends. But, you know, a lot more kids are killing themselves over obesity bullying and other forms of bullying. Why don't we hear about that? Because there's not an agenda associated with it that's being exploited. I know the people care. I know the gay activists care about these kids. Of course they do. And many of them went through this very same thing and said, hey, hang in there. Don't commit suicide. Things get better. It's just part of a larger agenda to get gay activist curriculum in the school, to have anti-bullying legislation that restricts freedom of speech from others and religious convictions from others, and to redefine marriage in society. So, sir, you can say shame on me all that you want. And like I said, I'll take whatever shame you want to throw on me. If I can take it off you, I'll take it, all right? I don't want you to be shamed. I want you to be right with God, the God who loves you and cares for you and sent his son to die for you. And Jesus hung naked on a cross, the ultimate horrific death in that day. Crucifixion was started by the Persians, borrowed by the Greeks, taken from them by the Romans, and ultimately in a barbaric Roman society, crucifixion was still considered to be too horrific a way for people to die, and they banned it. Jesus took that. He endured the shame so that you and I could be free. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael in Salem. All right, we lost Michael in Salem, Oregon. Tom in Alexandria, Virginia. Thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Tom.
Okay. Do I just go ahead?
Well, if you don't go ahead, then I won't hear you. So start talking right now. You've got all of America or parts of America listening to you.
I'd like to draw a parallel for your listeners to think about. One of your guests last week made the argument that gays already have the same rights as heterosexuals in this country. That we have the right to marry someone of the opposite sex, and that allowing us to marry someone of the same sex would be a special right. I suspect you have heard that argument.
Yeah, and Tom, I would not use that argument personally, although my friend did use it, because I would say that does not address your situation, because I have no more desire to marry a man than a homosexual has to marry a woman. So even though it might sound like a valid argument on our end, it wouldn't sound like a valid argument in the homosexual community. So that was not my argument.
You do not have equal rights in this country.
Well, the question is, equal rights to do what?
Why not have equal rights?
Well, how do you define marriage, Tom?
I'm just asking, do I have equal rights with you?
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm. Yes, you do. Now, you may be mistreated by some. You may be subject to harassment. That's that, and you are legally protected against that. That's horrific. But if you're a gay man and I'm a straight man, yes, we absolutely have equal rights right now. Neither of us can be fired for being gay or straight. Neither of us can be beaten up for being gay and straight. Neither of us could be deported for being gay or straight. Yeah.
I have equal right to be married.
No, marriage is the union of a man and a woman.
Don't have equal rights.
If you say that you want to redefine marriage,
want to redefine marriage. Okay, let me give you some background here.
Well, Tom, I just asked you a question, though. What is marriage? How do you define marriage?
Let me answer you. I'm a 63-year-old gay man. 39 years ago, at a church conference, I met the love of my life. Within a very short period of time, we established a life together. Mm-hmm. In fall of that year, fall of 1973, we were married to each other in a marriage ceremony presided over by two ordained ministers, not mm-hmm. just one, and we have been together for 39 years. Now, that marriage was not recognized by any government,
mm-hmm.
still is not recognized by any government, but it was recognized by our church. Now, at about the same time, a heterosexual friend of mine, who is Catholic and who was divorced from his first wife, remarried another woman. Because he's Catholic and the Catholic Church didn't recognize his divorce, mm-hmm. he could not have a church wedding, and the church to this day does not recognize his second marriage. But the government does. So how do you define marriage? Is it
marriage is the lifelong union of a man and a woman.
Is it what the government says? It can be all of those. Civil marriage.
Tom, I asked you a question, though, all right?
I'm sorry.
And I appreciate your story. I appreciate you sharing it. I have no question that you and your partner love each other. I have no question that you feel you're doing the right thing, okay? But my question is, Tom, how do you define marriage?
First and foremost, the means by which we establish our adult family taking precedence over our family of birth.
All right, so how many people are involved in marriage?
Your wife becomes your next of kin.
Tom, I'm not asking. I'm asking, since you did this in a church setting and claimed to be doing it in the sight, since you said you did this in a church setting, in the sight of God, what is marriage?
In the sight of God, marriage is exactly what it is in the sight of humans. It is the union of two people.
Why two?
Some marriages.
Where do you get that from? Why two?
Could
it be three or four or five?
Abraham
why two?
Had wives. King David had how many wives?
So you're fine with polygamy?
Apparently God is. I'm not.
Why aren't you? Why does it have to be two? Why must it be at least two?
Legally speaking.
Forget legally. In the sight of God. Do you read the Bible, Tom?
Talking about in the sight of God, I don't pretend to speak for God, but I do know that he approved of polygamy in the Bible.
It's always treated negatively in Scripture, and it was contrary to his initial design. And the examples of polygamy are in the Bible to show us that it's destructive and negative. That's why to be a leader in the church in the New Testament, you could only have one wife. But in the sight of God, Tom, do you read the Bible, sir? I'm not trying to stump you here. I'm honestly not trying to stump you. Do you read the Bible?
Like you, I do not pretend to speak for God.
Tom, I do speak for God when I quote the Scriptures. I'm speaking for God. I'm saying this is what God told us. Do you accept the Scriptures, Tom?
I accept the Scriptures, yes.
Oh, okay. What did God establish at creation? Male and female, and the two come together as one. That's marriage in the sight of God. Why two? Because it's male and female who are uniquely suited to come together. In uniquely suited to come together physically, uniquely suited to come together in complementary emotion and male-female union, and uniquely suited to reproduce for the well-being of the human race. In the entire Bible, that is the only thing God ever recognizes, the union of a man and a woman. And he's very plain, anything outside of that is contrary to his design and wrong in his sight.
Really? So two of the tribes of Israel, the two that survive are outside of his plan, because that was Jacob's second wife.
No, it's man and woman. Polygamy was allowed, but not the design. But male-male or female-female relationships are 100% condemned in Scripture out of the love and goodness of God. Male-male or female-female sexual relationships are 100% condemned always in Scripture without exception.
Where?
Everywhere. Every time there's ever mention of homosexual practice, it is spoken of as an abomination. It is spoken of as something that will keep people out of the kingdom and spoken as contrary to his design. Hey, Tom, hang on. I'll be back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us. Hey, I appreciate the patience of everyone on hold, and I will be able to take calls into the next hour. So if you can stay on the line, that's great. If you run out of time, please shoot me an email at askdrbrown.org. Just click contact there. 866-34-TRUTH. If you haven't read the article on Town Hall yet, which has gotten an instant spirited discussion, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. It's on the homepage at Town Hall. 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, Tom, I want to get to some other callers, but I didn't want to cut you off abruptly at the break there. And again, I don't minimize the fact that you and your partner have said you made a commitment together. I don't minimize any suffering and hardship you may have experienced identifying as gay through the years. I simply say that God is against it, that he has a better way, and that's what I stand for. By the way, I'm on record as saying that heterosexual Christian divorce has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists combined. So I absolutely oppose the no-fault divorce that we have everywhere in our society, including in the church, and you're absolutely right, Tom, that is wrong. But you wanted to say something before the break, so just back to you quickly.
Okay. Do you believe the Bible verse that says, by their fruits ye shall know them?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that might apply to you and the fruit of the attacks on gays, the bashing, that what you are preaching is leading directly to that fruit?
It's actually the opposite, Tom. I've worked with many, many people now, and we're constantly in church settings where they come to me with broken hearts and say, I understand that I need to walk in love. I understand that I need to be more compassionate. I didn't realize the struggles people go through. So the fruit is good fruit because we constantly make clear that this is my platform for telling everyone, parents, look, tell your kids to be nice to everybody. Tell your kids bullying is bad. This is my platform to speak against rampant, no-fault heterosexual divorce as well. So this is a great opportunity for me to address these broader issues and to remind the Christian community of the deep love that God has for those who struggle with same-sex attraction and that he has a better way. So the fruit we see is consistently excellent on that score. But let's do this, Tom. Let's watch. What I see is when gay activists attack me and misrepresent what I say, that stirs up problems. I'm not saying you're doing that, sir, but others do it to me constantly. That's what stirs up problems, when they misrepresent us and then people think we're doing something we're not. That's dangerous.
Saying the result is not what you're intending. That the fruit of your labors is leading to kids committing suicide, other kids bullying kids, people being denied their basic rights.
How do you know that? Tom, how do you know that? I hear the exact opposite. It's my own ministry, my own life. I track it. How do you know that? Can you tell me?
For example, in favor of this marriage amendment in North Carolina. Is that not correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, let me tell you the impact of my marriage not being recognized. I have a half-brother out in California that I have not seen but one time in the last 39 years. I've talked to him on the phone two other times in that 39 years. Under the law, we're talking about civil marriage here, under the law, my spouse of the last 39 years has less say over what happens to me when I go to the hospital or when I die, what happens to my body, than this half-brother in California. And it's because of the love of Christians like you and him.
But Tom, God's word, do you want me to throw out the Bible? Tom, do you want me to throw out? And what about the fact that gay men are 50 times more likely to contract sexually transmitted diseases and that far more are dying because of sexual activity? You know how much, maybe you and your partner have been faithful for 39 years, but you'll be the first that I've ever heard of. The fact is men tend to be much more sexually promiscuous than women. And when it's men plus men, it is an environment with all kinds of health risks. And if you really care about that, you should be every day making your voice heard, because far, far, far more are dying because of sexual promiscuity and sexually transmitted diseases than because of suicides.
I'm trying to make my voice heard, encouraging gays to get married, and you're fighting against it.
No, Tom, it's not marriage. It's not marriage. God says it's not marriage. You cannot create whatever you want because you have a desire, Tom. You cannot, Tom, and listen, you're cutting out, so I've just got to just talk to you here, okay? And then I'm out of time. Tom, you cannot rewrite the Bible based on your desires. Scientists now have discovered what they call genetic sexual attraction, GSA, where some people are actually attracted to siblings. What does it mean? It means you have to say no to desires, even when they're at the core of your being. There are people now who say they are hardwired to be polyamorous. They are not wired to be. There are sociologists who say all men are hardwired to want multiple women. It's part of the reproductive thing for the human race and so on. I say it's part of fallen, sinful human nature. I know, Tom, I know people. I know people who've come out of homosexuality, and I know others who say, I still have these desires, but I've given myself to the Lord, and he's all that I need. We cannot redefine the foundations of society, Tom, because of deep desires you have. But thank you, sir, for making your voice heard. I don't know how you feel about the call, but everyone that listens knows I tried to give you extra time. Okay, friends, we are going to get to all of your calls. Please be patient. I want to do my best when folks call in who differ to give them a hearing, and I want everyone to understand what's going on. But if you believe in what we're doing, you tell me how many other radio broadcasts in the space of a week are debating an Orthodox rabbi who is a former pastor, debating a gay activist, or talking about these difficult issues and seeking to do something about it. At the same time, raising up, sending out laborers that are now all over the world bearing fruit. One of our grads just preached to over 1%, well over 1% of an entire nation in Africa in this last week. I'm going to try to get him on to share more about that. We're doing a frontline work, but we can't do this alone. This is a joint effort. And doors have been opened wide for us to be on these major stations across America. A major faith commitment was made by those putting us on the air. But right now, we need a response. We need to hear from you. Listen, if everybody does something, all the money that's needed will come in because there's no shortage out there. But for every dollar that comes in through a generous donor, it'll become $1.50. I mean, if someone sent $10,000, it becomes $15,000, 100% of it. One of these days, I'm going to tell you what our entire staff, me included, everybody makes in the course of a year, and you'll fall out of your chair saying it's not possible. It is, because we're doing this for the gospel. But we need you to call 1-800-278-9978. Can you stand with us, large or small? Will you do that? 1-800-278-9978. Go online, donate online, askdrbrown.org, or call 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, when I talk with people who identify as lesbian or gay or bisexual or transgender, my heart goes out to them more than they will ever know, even though they perceive me to be bigoted, hard-hearted. I want you to know the love I feel for them is the tiniest bit of the love that God feels. And I say to each and every one, he has a better way. Friends, there are people that want to silence me, want to silence you, want to tell us that we cannot hold to our biblical convictions and that we don't have the right to speak.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
It is my joy, friends, to be with you, and as many of you are listening to me now all over North Carolina, you know that we are right in the thick of a major discussion about a marriage amendment to make a plain statement that a judge could not overturn, that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. It's amazing that we have to make that statement, that we have to take a stand for what is the very foundation of the human race and family as God ordained it and intended it. But I'm very sensitive to what I'm hearing over and over, that to not redefine marriage is to be discriminatory to the homosexual community. To not redefine marriage is to cause terrible pain for young people growing up, to let them know that society will never recognize their relations as marriage. To say that in the most simple things that a husband and wife could do that would be recognized by the law, they could never do. It's to say to them that you are unequal, that you are lesser. I am very sensitive to those issues because of which I agonize over them before the Lord in prayer. And at the same time, I will not rewrite the Bible and change what is best for everyone involved, ultimately, long term, in God's sight and in the sight of society, because people have sensitivities. Nor will I back down from speaking what's right when people email me. Free speech espousing hate, even disguised as pseudo or real religious speech, is still hate speech. Hate speech in any and all circumstances is not protected by U.S. law. If you use religion to disguise your hatred of other groups, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Read my article on townhall.com, getting a flood of responses immediately. You should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. You can always add your comments there, friends. Mitchell Gold, who was my guest last Wednesday, along with Dr. Frank Turek, Mitchell Gold, gay activist, who founded Faith in America to combat what he says is religion-based bigotry, said this at a reception on Capitol Hill, December 2nd, 2011. Speaking of, quote, religion-based bigotry, he said, I know those three words might seem harsh or incendiary to some, but unfortunately, those are the words that best describe the disease that has and is dividing our country and too many families. Disease. If you say marriage is the union of a man and woman, it's a disease. If you say homosexual practice is not God's best and it's contrary to his order and contrary to his will, disease. If you say I'm concerned about the impact that homosexual activism is having on our society and gay activist curriculum in our school. Disease. If you say, certainly God did not intend men to be with men or women to be with women, look in particular at the results of sexual activity of man with man on average across society, 50 times more likely, roughly, Center of Disease Control reports, to contract sexually transmitted diseases or become HIV positive, develop AIDS. You say that's a concern. We should raise our voices about that. No, that's just religion-based bigotry. You're just disguising your hatred. And to quote the email again, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Friends, I want to say plainly that God has called me to be a voice. God has called me to stand. My heart breaks for those who differ. My heart breaks for those who identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. They may say they're doing just great, just fine. They don't need my heart to break for them. That's fine. But when you want to share the pain, when you want to talk about the hardship, the difficulty, the bullying, and everything else, I want you to know I'm sensitive to that, and I shed tears over it, and I agonize over it, and all the more I'm going to do what's right in God's sight because human lives hang in the balance. Back with your calls.
Fire we please, and the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Number again, 866-348-7884 online. AskDrBrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Just want to share this quickly. We get lots and lots of emails that come in. Remember, we're on the radio 10 hours live every week, and then plus all kinds of other ministry we're doing, and the several hundred thousand people that come to the websites and things like that. So we get lots of emails, and I was sent a summary of responses. Randy sent me a summary of responses after the debate dialogue with Mitchell Gold and Frank Turek last week, and I said, no, send me all the emails. I want to look at them. I want to read them. And then I said, write to all the people, thank them for writing, and tell them that I'd love to hear from them to please call with their differences in particular. So that's why some are calling, and I welcome that. I've been trying it in the first hour, give some of those that differ with me extra time, but I want to get to as many calls as I can. This email just sent to me from Bob in Canada. Listened to your radio show last Friday. It's actually last Wednesday, I believe it was. First of all, Pastor Mike, I very much appreciate the effort you've made in opening up this discussion, and the effort especially to hear from Mr. Gold. Of course, that's where I wanted to start, hear his story, hear what he suffered. First of all, your passion for the issue is clear and comes across. However, mentioning the number of books in your library and the years you spent studying scripture is really unnecessary. If your purpose is to express the passion of Christ, this type of statement only serves to make you a braggart and a boaster. And expressing love of Christ, the number of books you read is not relevant. Frankly, I hope you consider in prayerful contemplation the error of setting yourself up as a learned scholar. No matter how much you think you know, you're still as ignorant as the rest of us when it comes to understanding the full height and depth and breadth, the power of God. Hey, Bob, perhaps you heard me wrongly. Perhaps the issue is in your hearing, because one of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3:8-9. Don't be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. That'll be health and nourishment to you as you do. My point was saying I did my best to investigate the other points of view, that I've got a whole wall of books at home just dealing with these issues, and many of them are the stories of those who say, I'm a gay Christian, I'm a gay Orthodox rabbi. Biblical interpretation, we're reading the Bible wrong. The Bible says nothing against loving monogamous same-sex relationships. So my point is I've wrestled with this every way I know how. On my knees, on my face, asking God for his heart, studying the word, listening as best as I can to those that will talk to me face to face, be it on a long flight overseas, over a lunch table, scheduling meetings with, you know, lesbian activists in the city, gay activists in the city here, done that a number of different times with several different people. Tell me your story over lunch. Let's interact. And because I'm a reader, because you know, I love to read and study, I've got more books than you sink a ship with most of these. Why? Because I dig as much as I know how to dig, and then I pray. That's the point I'm making. Not I know it all. And look, I tell people, I mean, if they want to call and argue Hebrew with me, it's fine. I mean, it's my field. I can tell you what it says and doesn't say. But I always say it doesn't make me right. So perhaps you misjudged me as you heard that. I wonder if that is possible. 866-34-TRUTH. Leslie in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
My question is, I have three boys, and I have a 17-year-old in the public school system down here in Broward County, and it clearly states in the student code of conduct book that there's no discrimination against sex, religion, gender, et cetera. But when it comes down to religion, my son expressed his beliefs on homosexuality, he's the one that's been bullied in the class. It's the opposite. It's the other way around.
Yes, ma'am.
So they're claiming that they're being bullied because of their expression of sexual tendencies. But the kids that oppose it are the ones that's being bullied. But no one talks about that. And my second question is that what happens to the family if everybody goes homosexual, transgender, etc.? What happens to the grandmothers, the grandfathers, the uncles, the aunties, the niece, the aunts? What happens to the family, period? Family just gets erased because of sexual agenda?
You know, Leslie, thank you so much for holding. Okay. You've been on for almost an hour, and I'm so glad you held, because the two issues you raise are super important. Let me address the second one first. Your question is not, well, there'll be no human beings left because there won't be heterosexuals to reproduce. No, we understand that's going to keep happening. Heterosexuals are the vast majority, 97, 8, 9% of the population. They're going to be reproducing. But there's something as simple as family structure. There's something as simple as a family tree and having, and it's, by the way, it's bigger than just the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender issue, though that's in the middle of it. It's artificial insemination, not when a couple has no alternative in terms of a heterosexual couple and there's a physical issue, but artificial insemination as the choice because the woman doesn't want to get married, heterosexual woman or two lesbians or whatever. And you end up, there are now men who have been sperm donors for more than 50 different kids and more. And the kids will know, who's my daddy? So you can't even have a family tree. You can't it's just so simple that there's a way God intended it. So family structure, which is under severe attack already and falling apart, basically just becomes a thing of the past. It becomes the rare exception to have any of that. As to the first situation, Leslie, we all agree that bullying is wrong. And we all, if I heard about a gay kid being bullied in a school, we got grandkids now, but my kids were in school and that was happening, I'd address it. I would call for a meeting to gather people. Right. I would address it and say, hey, this kid, he's 11. Kids call him gay and fag, and we need to stop that. And if he came under attack, and if he was being raised by two gay men, I'd jump in there just the same, because that's a kid and a human being. The fact is, it has to go both ways. And I've said for years, I get mocked for it. I'll say it again. Right. I said at the first hour, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. Look, here's what happens. Last week, Leslie, a 15-year-old kid is asked to write an article for the school newspaper saying his view, why he's against gays adopting kids. And then another kid, a girl, was going to write an article as to why they should. Okay?
Right.
He writes his article. A gay couple finds out about it. Involved, they got a kid in the school. They protest to the school. The school tells the kid that by writing the article that he was asked to write, he was guilty of bullying. He's called into the principal's office and bullied and threatened with suspension. And this happens over and over. I've talked to people in college programs that say, I cannot speak up as a student or I'll be failed, there are students who have been kicked out of programs, kicked out, because they couldn't agree with gay activist curriculum. There are professors that have called this program and told me, I cannot address this issue in my school as a professor, whereas the other side comes constantly. So I'm not minimizing those who are bullied, not minimizing that at all. But there is no question there is a complete double standard. And what we have to do, number one, get involved in the schools. On my website, do you have my book, A Queer Thing Happened to America?
No, not yet.
All right. Well, you stay on hold because I'm sending you a signed copy, all right? And there is a website, aqueerthing.com, and there's a section that says get involved, and it tells you things to do in the schools. And then do you have a pen to write something down, Leslie?
No, I don't.
Okay. Well, tell you what. On that website, you'll find references to Christian legal organizations, and when there really is bullying – or if a faculty member gets involved in silencing a kid, they need to be called to account. And I want to say this clearly, that gay activism is the greatest threat to religious freedom and freedom of speech in America. And I am persistently told now, first people told me it'll never happen. Now as it's happening more and more, you know what they tell me? Bigots like you belong in the closet. And you encourage your son, you do the right thing, show love to everybody, but you be bold. Tell him he's a champion. If he speaks the truth in love, he's a champion. And a lot more people are standing with him than against him. So you stay on hold, Leslie, and I want to send you a signed copy for the book. Thanks so much for your call. I appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, friends, are going to get to your calls on the other side of the break. Maurice, CJ, Maria, Christina, hang with us. We will be getting back to you momentarily. I want to make this clear appeal to everyone listening. I've been threatened by Hindu militants preaching overseas. I mean, literally where the stage was taken over with folks with knives and razor blades in their hands. You can ask the eyewitnesses who were there. And by God's grace, we stand strong. there are people constantly trying to silence me from every different angle and want to get me off the front lines. By God's grace, I'm going forward, not backward. By God's grace, the more people try to silence me, the more I'm going to stand up for what's right. That being said, there is a way that I can be silenced, and that's if friends don't stand with us and help us on the radio. We have an unusual opportunity. An anonymous donor is giving 50% increase to every dollar that comes in. Every $10 becomes $15. Every $100 becomes $150. Would you stand with us if you believe in what we're doing and don't want us silenced? 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or online, askdrbrown.org. 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, just reading what else Bob has to say when you ask the question about what you should do with your belief, I'd like to encourage you to hold it lovingly, to experience it and share it in church with fellow believers, wherever you have no right imposing that belief onto others. Bob, why are you imposing your belief? If you say marriage should be the union of two men and not just a man and a woman, aren't you imposing your belief? Isn't that exactly what you're doing? Aren't you telling society to change the only thing we've ever known in our history? I'm talking about human race, history as a recognized institution and foundation in society. Aren't you doing that? Why do you have the right to do it? And if I believe, for example, that slavery is wrong based on scripture, should I keep that to myself? I'm not comparing slavery to homosexual practice. I'm simply asking you a question. If I believe that human trafficking is wrong based on my biblical conviction, do I just keep that to myself? If I believe that kids should not be indoctrinated with any kind of sex ed education, telling them to experiment with this or find out about this and tell them stuff that you wouldn't tell them in the home when they're little kids, do I just keep that to myself? And is God not the foundation of our society and are not our civil laws based on other moral principles? 866-34-TRUTH. Maurice in Somerset, New Jersey, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Line of Fire. Yes, you're on the air, Maurice.
God Hello. Bless you, buddy. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Go ahead.
Father God, I bless you and thank you. Dr. Michael.
Yes, go ahead, sir.
Prosper him and his soul prospers greatly and give him great success.
Thank you.
And as you said in your word, you put your remembrance of it. And this he will do, provided that you continue to stay with and in the faith in Christ, well-grounded, settled, steadfast, not shifting and moving away from the hope, which rests on as an inspired by the glad tidings of the gospel, which you've heard and preached, which has been preached by you and designed for and offered without restrictions to every person under heaven. And of which the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the only true living God, the God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, continue to bless you. For I always pray to the Lord for you and for believers. And I thank God for the authority he's given us to cast out the devil of that spirit of homosexuality in these people. They need to know the wages of sin is death. Is against God's word, we will not be. We do not change God's word. Revelation 22 talks about losing your salvation through that.
Yeah, and Marie, Lord,
may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation of the insight into the mystery.
Thank you.
Intimate and deep secret of God by having the eyes of all these homosexuals and their hearts flooded with light so they can know to understand the hope to which God has called them to be men and not against the word of God, to walk in the spirit and not the flesh.
Amen.
Thank you, Father God, for their salvation.
All right. Hey Maurice, thank you. I hesitated to interrupt when you're praying scripture and quoting scripture, so thank you. For those who didn't realize, Maurice was praying prayers that Paul wrote for the Ephesians in Ephesians 1 or Colossians in Colossians 1 or other words found in the letters of John, praying those over me and us. So thank you for doing that, Maurice. I do want to say that there is demonic activity in all kinds of situations, and there are real demons that want to destroy people's lives, homosexual, heterosexual. And many people, when they come to faith, need to be freed from demonic influences of all kinds. So we want people free in Jesus. We want people whole in Jesus. and through repentance, faith, salvation, that can come. For some, it involves deliverance. For others, it doesn't. But thank you for praying the word. Keep doing that in private for me, Maurice. I bet you do. Thank you. 866-34-TRUTH. CJ in New York City, thanks also for holding, and welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, hi, Dr. Brown.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to ask you just a couple of questions. I'll be very brief because there's other people on the phone.
Yeah.
First, what do you think of hermaphrodites, people who have both male and female sexual organs?
Yeah, hermaphrodites, of course, that's a biological issue. In other words, they are either a male or a female, and they have dual sexual organs. There can be others that have ambiguous sexual organs. And of course, it's a difficult life situation, CJ, and it's one that we need to have great sympathy for. I was speaking one time in Raleigh, North Carolina, and mentioned my differences with homosexual activism, and a lady yelled something at me and walked out, and her sister said, oh, she didn't understand what you were saying. I said, yeah, she's obviously hurting. Turns out that was her situation, and she felt that as a direct attack on her. So we need great sensitivity there, but the best thing, as I understand it, is to watch as that child is growing up, and as they're growing up, to see it, either by testing chromosomes or along with that, by watching the child they develop, and then through surgery, just make an adjustment so that they are entirely one or the other, even though they may not be perfectly functioning in that way. But it's really separate from the issue, of course, of same-sex attraction or bisexuality. But it is a situation that often the gay and lesbian community is more ready to address because they're more ready for those on the margins and the fringes, and the church has to do a better job of that, CJ. And your other question, sir?
Okay. Let's see. For instance, like Chris Christie, Rudy Giuliani, Presidents Bush and Obama believe in civil unions. What do you think of that?
No, I don't see any. I didn't know that President Bush did, but perhaps I just missed that.
No, he did. He mentioned it actually in his last year.
Oh, well,
he was not for gay marriage, but he was for civil
right.
union.
I'm not arguing with you if that happened. I missed it. No, I don't agree with civil unions for two main reasons, CJ. Number one, the government has no business getting involved in those relationships. In other words, the only reason that the government is involved with recognizing marriage is because marriage conveys certain benefits on society by providing the best outlet for kids to be born and raised by a mom and a dad. And it's just a good social program for society. Otherwise, the government has no business in our private relations. So that's one reason I oppose it. I know it may sound hard-hearted to people, but that's one reason. The other reason is it's almost always the platform for the next. In other words, gay activists will say, look, we just want civil unions. We don't care about gay marriage. If we have civil unions in our state, we'll be happy. No sooner does that happen, then we're told, well, you already have civil unions, so why not accept same-sex marriage? Fundamentally, the government has no business getting involved in people's relationships. If it's two men living in the same house, or four men, or three women, or one man, or that's, as long as they're not doing damage or breaking the law, that's their business. For the government to get involved is to sanction it and to support it. Therefore, I oppose it. Because I don't believe that it's in the best interest of society or that God intended a man to be with a man or a woman to be with a woman.
Well, okay? You know, government actually got into marriage because they were against interracial marriages.
No, marriage existed earlier, but the sin of being against interracial marriage was a terrible mistake in our history because a black man and a white woman can relate as man and woman, can come together as one, can reproduce kids, can provide a mom and a dad, none of which two men or two women can do. And thankfully, we fixed that. And by the way, at that same time that we forbid interracial marriages, you could have, say, a white man marrying a Native American. So it's complete hypocrisy on our part. But hey, CJ, I'm out of time. Thank you for the questions. I assume we differ on them. But if I ever see you in New York, lunch on me, as long as it's not too expensive. All right. Friends, will you stand with us? A unique moment in our ministry history, where we are in a critical stage and need your help, and someone will multiply your funds if you'll stand with us. Call right now. Make a difference, will you? 1-800-278-9978. That's 1-800-278. Online, askdrbrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Friends, there is something very neat that is taking place. No sooner is our radio broadcast over, I'll get an email from someone saying, hey, this Orthodox Jew, this rabbi just posted a video responding to you. Hey, this counter-missionary rabbi just posted on his website a response to you. Or when we deal with a sensitive issue like gay activism, hey, here's a video that just came out blasting you. It means that people from all backgrounds are listening. And I want to tell you plainly, friends, people want me to shut up and go away. I just saw a post, a Jewish post. I mean, it's friendly. It's not threatening to me in any way. But it called me Christian apologist and missionary extraordinaire. This is a Jewish website recognizing the importance of the work we're doing and obviously not liking it. And when it comes to speaking up for what is right, speaking up for marriage as God intended it, speaking up for religious freedoms and rights, this is the message I'm hearing over and again, to quote this email once more that was sent to me as a result of the broadcast on Wednesday when Frank Turek and I debated gay activist Mitchell Gold. Quote, free speech espousing hate, even disguised as pseudo or real religious speech, is still hate speech. Hate speech in any and all circumstances is not protected by Jewish law. If you use your religion to disguise your hatred of other groups, you should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. In fact, my article by that title on Town Hall has gotten a flood of responses. You should be called out, fired, fined, and shamed. Friends, people would like me off the air. People would like to silence me. By God's grace, I am standing. In fact, the more those types of things are spoken to me, the more determined I am to stand up for what is right, regardless of cost or consequence. We need you to stand with us because we are making a difference. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. This clip with all of the real wild profanity edited out, thankfully, by our team. This clip will give you an idea of how people are responding to this message on the airwaves, this central hub of what we are doing in worldwide ministry. Listen to what this fellow, you got to pray for him. Heart's got to go out to me. Identifies as basement atheist. Check out what he has to say.
All right, this Dr. Michael Brown, I don't know who this dude is. I don't know if he's a real doctor or if he's a fake Christian doctor. You know, those preachers who like to say that they are doctors to make themselves sound a little bit more credible. All right, now brace yourself. He's going around saying that the gay community is using these gay kids' deaths as part of our agenda. How dare you? I've been down that dark road because I got bullied because of your book. I didn't just get bullied by the kids at school. No, it didn't stop there. I got bullied by members of my church. I got bullied by my family. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Shame on you. Shame on you. Talk about using their deaths as a pawn for your agenda. Shame on you. Shame on you.
I want to say again, first, that my heart goes out to this young man who may well be an atheist because of the way he was treated, because of who he perceived God to be. That's number one. Number two, I want to say that he can heap all the shame on me he wants. It's my joy to take shame for his salvation. Jesus took our shame so we could be free, we could be whole. And I also want to say, absolutely, 100%, gay activists are shamelessly, not even in a subtle way, using the suicides of gay teenagers to advance their agenda. Do they believe they're doing what's best for these teenagers? Of course. Do they say, I don't want them to go through what I went through when I was there? Of course. And they are shamelessly using it to advance an agenda, to restructure society, and ultimately to take away your rights and mine. Does that sound extreme?
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. How do you like this email here? Oh, this came in again as a result of the debate last week, Frank Turk and I, with Mitchell Gold. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884, online, AskDrBrown.org. My sister, this is Anne, is a poet, an artist, a mother, and a grandmother. She's also a lesbian. She deserves every single right that any and all Americans have. I'm one of the majority of Americans, and indeed citizens all over the world, who perfectly understand that each and every human being is entitled to all rights, privileges, and responsibilities as any other. This is in the context of redefinition of marriage. Okay, Anne, the vast majority of people worldwide oppose the idea that marriage is the union of just two people, meaning two men, two women, that marriage has now become genderless, that it's not the union of a man and a woman. The vast majority of people around the world oppose that. 99% of countries worldwide oppose it, and every time it's been voted for in America, in every state, 31 out of 31, and God willing, 32 out of 32 here in North Carolina, every time it's been voted on, everyone has voted in terms of the majority saying marriage is the union of a man and woman. Keep it that way. And the only way that your sister is a mother was because of a male. She could not reproduce with another woman alone. There was something lacking in that relationship. It's not the way God intended it. And whatever kids she would have raised then, okay, if she's a lesbian and was never married to a man, whatever kids she would have raised were deprived of a dad. Is that right? What about the rights of the kids? If a man and woman are going to produce a child, that's the only way it can happen, artificially or other. That's the only way it can happen. Doesn't a child deserve a mom and dad? What about equal rights for the children? You know, as I read email after email here and accusations that Frank and I were bullying and so on, and here, I agree with you on most issues. I've been listening to you for quite some time, but I couldn't believe how obnoxious you and Mr. Turk were to Mitchell Gold. You two acted like immature teenage boys bullying someone who's different with you. I may have read this on the air last week. The thing that's so difficult to work with is, if any difference, based on scripture, based on what's best for society, if any difference is chalked up as hate, if any difference based on scripture is chalked up to bigotry, to quote Mitchell Gold again, as he spoke at a reception on Capitol Hill December 2nd, this is in front of congressmen, speaking of religion-based bigotry, he said, those are the words that best describe the disease that has and is dividing our country in too many families. So to say, based on scripture, God intended a man to be with a woman, based on scripture and even the analogy of Jesus and the church, the groom and the bride, based on scripture, God intended marriage to only be male-female union. Based on scripture, we oppose all sexual activity out of marriage that includes homosexual practice. Based on scripture, we don't believe God made men to be with men and women to be with women. And based on our understanding of society and what's based on society, but what's best for society, we oppose gay activism. We oppose indoctrinating little children in the schools and on and on. That is now religion-based bigotry and it's a disease? What do you do with a disease? You don't tolerate it, you quarantine it. You know, if it's a contagious disease, you quarantine it or you treat it, but you certainly don't cultivate it. You don't give it a platform. That's what's being told us. You do not have the right in the sight of God or the sight of man to hold to your convictions. Do you understand that? When I get a call one day from one of you, say, I can't believe what happened. I was trying to say something in school. We were shut down. I can't believe that. Oh, okay. Believe it. It's happening. Your religious freedoms are under fire. Your freedom of speech and freedom of conscience are under fire. It's reality. I am standing here, friends, as a watchman on the wall telling you this, not because I get charged by doing it or have some kind of satisfaction with a persecution complex. It hurts me that when I say these things, I know people will perceive it a certain way and hear it through certain ears and tell me I'm full of hate and I'm destroying lives. That hurts me because I care about those people. This is God's creation. And I care about people because they're created in the image of God. And I care about people because Jesus died for them. And I care about people because I can't imagine the struggles that someone would go through over these issues. For all these reasons, I care. And because I care, I have to do what's right in God's sight because he knows what's best. And if we open the door, friends, it becomes a flood, a tidal wave. Loss of religious freedoms, freedom of speech, freedom of conscience, indoctrination of our kids, and unlimited sexual gender expressions, because once you say it's more than male, female, look, there are activists who say gender must be destroyed. I've shared this before, but I have books on undoing gender and blending gender and ending gender, and gender becomes the enemy that must be opposed. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones. Maria in Fords, New Jersey, thanks so much for holding. Welcome to the broadcast.
Thank you. Shalom. I hear you saying that marriage is between a man and a woman, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely,
okay.
You do.
Now, is this the biblical blood covenant marriage between a man and a woman? Or is someone divorced, left his wife, and marries a woman who divorced her husband, which I've seen in the church? The leadership in the church is one example. And another one was the leadership married a man who left his wife in another country and married someone in the church, a young person. Now, I don't know if she made covenant with them, if it was a covenant relationship. But is this a blood covenant union?
All right, there's
which God
no...
said has to be. Remember when Joseph
right.
Yeah,
so Maria, marriage was never a blood covenant. There was
absolutely
never...
Absolutely it is.
No, Maria.
Why did Joseph put Mary aside?
Maria, there's no shedding of blood involved.
Sure there is.
There is
a virgin.
Maria.
A virgin. Otherwise, there's
not,
no marriage.
Maria, it's not... If you let me answer you, okay? You ask me a question, I'm answering you.
Go ahead.
When
but
the
if
Bible
you say something
speaks
wrong,
of,
I'll correct it.
When the Bible speaks of blood covenant, it's
right.
Very specific. It is
right.
Sacrifices, okay?
Right.
It is a blood sacrifice.
Maria,
it is absolutely meant to be a lifelong union. That's what I'm saying.
Virgin.
Please let me speak. All right, Maria, just best if you listen, okay? So I haven't hung up on you, but I just want you to listen. It is intended to be the lifelong union of a man and a woman. And the only biblical exception to that in the New Testament that is clear is adultery. All right? So if a man has an affair, divorces his wife, marries this other woman, he is now in adultery. If two people say, hey, we don't love each other anymore, we don't love our spouses anymore, so we're going to divorce our spouses and come together in a new relationship in God's sight, that's adultery. And I have said it over and over again. I said it when Mitchell Gold was here. Apparently, people listening either chose not to hear it or didn't hear it. Some people listening, that no-fault heterosexual marriage in the church has done more to destroy marriage than all gay activists put together. 866, thanks for the call, Maria. 866-34-TRUTH. Christina in Durham, North Carolina, thanks so much for calling the Line of Fire. Hello, Christina. All right, we keep losing Christina. Says she's for gay marriage, and I keep trying to get her on the line. Unsuccessfully. Angela in Phoenix, I know we spoke just a few days ago and we normally don't allow calls back so quickly. However, you were involved in gay activism at some point of your life?
No, I was really involved in the BDSM lifestyle. You know, a lot of people who are transgendered, polyamorous relationships.
And what's the abbreviation you used?
BDSM.
Oh, okay, right. All right, so that's right. But all right, we won't repeat it, but that's all kinds of
okay.
sexual deviancy. Got it.
Right, absolutely. And it was to the hilt. And most of my life, I have known people who are gay and had great friends. I've been in lesbian relationships. But the truth came back to me, and it was Christians like you. I believe 100% in what you're saying. And what I'd like to say to the people out there that either love a gay person or gay or whatever their sexual orientation is that the scriptures, once you ask Jesus, are you real? Are you really the Son of God? And you pursue that path just with a little bit of tiny faith, you will see that the scriptures are real and what is the truth is the truth. I was heavily involved in that lifestyle, and it was a woman, a friend, a mentor who spoke the truth in my life and spoke out against the occult.
All right, so Angela, just real quick, obviously you're around a lot of hurting people, a lot of confused people, and yet real love meant someone speaking the truth to you. Real love speaks the truth and then gets in the trenches and say, I'm here to stand with you, to love you, to help you, to accept you as you are, and to bring you to Jesus who can change. Thank you.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. If you were unable to get through today or unable to hold, please email us at AskDrBrown.org if it's important that you want me to see something, or better still, post. As long as you don't attack individuals or groups or use profanity, we have very simple posting rules. We welcome all viewpoints, opposing viewpoints, to air out discussion on our website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire, 866-348-7884. All right, our third time to get Christina on the air. How's your connection there in Durham, North Carolina, Christina?
Hi, can you hear me?
I can, loud and clear.
Oh,
perfect.
Good.
Go for
good.
It.
I've been listening in, and thanks for letting me speak here. First of all, I think you're doing a great job as a role model for an open and respectful discussion. And I wanted to say that as far as bullying goes, that's bullying pretty much is about folks on one side or the other, whatever the issue is, saying you need to be on this side of the issue, and if you're not, you're wrong. Something's wrong with you, whatever that issue is. So the real
or you're just different. If you're not like us, I mean, it could be a fat
like
kid
us.
Or whatever.
Right.
So, but bullying is bad. All bullying is bad. Whatever we can do to teach
right,
our
exactly.
kids and model it by the way we act in our homes and speak. And especially our kids understand if somebody seems to be different than you, that's the one that you want to be especially nice to. And if kids pick on a kid, that's the one you want to make your friend and show them you're there for them. So
right.
whatever
right.
the, we agree. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, exactly. And the issues around the bullying can vary so vastly. It can be some of the issues we're talking about, and it can be something that's so specific to a town or a region that, you know, the rest of the country or the world doesn't even know of.
So oh, yeah. You move in.
Wrong.
You move in from another part of the country, and,
right.
and your family lives in a different part of town, or you have a different accent. Yeah, kids get bullied. I mean, that just interrupt, because I know you have something else to say, and thank you
sure.
for the kind words about the forum here. The fact is, what bothers me is we don't hear about all the other kids who are bullied and who are committing suicide and suffering. We only hear about the gay casualties. So to me, it's an unequal thing because every life counts and we need to address all the issues. But anyway, back to you, please.
But yeah, so, well, maybe it's been the gay community that's brought this to light, and that's a good thing. But the one thing I wanted to ask you, and I am not a biblical scholar, so and I don't want to get into an argument about this, but mm-hmm. I have a simple question, and if you can point me to specific passages in the Bible and the
sure.
and the version of the Bible that you read, or maybe multiple versions or
mm-hmm.
translations,
please.
Is where in the Bible does it talk about committed same-sex relationships and them not being acceptable or against God?
Sure. Let me address that from a few different angles. And virtually any translation you read is going to work on this. I do my best to use original languages, you know, Hebrew, and I'm stronger in Hebrew than Greek. But number one, if I asked you where does the Bible say that a man can't marry an animal or something like that, it's totally something totally different, completely different than what we're talking about, your answer would be, well, that doesn't prove anything if it's not explicitly there. In other words, it's what God does say. It's like a friend of mine used this illustration that you get a cookbook, And the beginning of the cookbook says, we avoid all sugar products in this cookbook because we use only natural sweeteners, right? So you read through the entire book and you find sugar's not mentioned once because it's unimportant or because the other is taught. So from the very beginning of the Bible, God establishes that he made human beings male and female. That's his image, right? Genesis 1:26. And then in the next chapter, it tells us that his design is a man leaves his father and mother, cleaves to his wife, and the two become one flesh, right? So that's Genesis 2:24 in any translation
but
you would read.
Throughout
the rest of the Bible, so I'll make it short, okay? Through the rest of the Bible, the only relationships that are ever sanctioned are male-female union, and then that union is also called to be fruitful and multiply, so that's the norm for that. Then the image of Jesus and the church, that's the image of a husband and wife coming together. And then explicitly, in numerous passages, Leviticus 18, which is universal sexual sins for all human beings, not just for Israel, because God gave some laws for Israel just to keep them separate, like food laws and things, and then other universal laws, like don't murder or incest is wrong for everyone, same with homosexual practice, versus passages like Leviticus 18, Leviticus 20, and then in the New Testament, Romans 1, make clear that any sexual activity of a man and a man and a woman and woman is forbidden in God's sight and is a very serious violation. So you put the two together.
And I've read most of those passages.
Yeah.
But again, so your answer is it doesn't explicitly call it out, and you made a parallel between it doesn't call out also, you know, where can man, i.e. humans, be in a relationship with an animal.
Or an alien or anything. In other words,
right.
What it does tell us is so. But here's what's explicit, though. God ordained.
I understand what's explicit. I think most Americans understand what's explicit in the Bible.
But if you say those two things are explicit, number one, that marriage is the union of a man and woman coming together in a lifelong commitment. That's A. The only exceptional rules that can sever that. And B, any same-sex activity for any reason. Because there were committed same-sex couples in Bible days, remember. Any same-sex activity.
Where does it say that in the Bible? That was my question.
Oh, no, we know it. In other words, historically we know it. And then gay activists tell us
it's
not in the Bible. It's in the culture of the day. In other words, that you can read about Greek relationships in that day when guys were together all their lives. That was the culture in which the Bible was written. But here's the explicit thing. It establishes marriage as the union only of a man and woman. And the whole Bible addresses husbands, love your wives, wives, respect your husbands, right? Doesn't give any other option. And all same-sex activity is forbidden.
Activity. Well, I could also point to one of the Ten Commandments is that thou shalt not commit adultery.
Correct.
And, you know, you could argue, and through this whole show, and I've only missed a little bit because my connection dropped with the last caller before me, is that you vacillated between what the Bible says explicitly, and that is arguable because it's translation. But let me finish my thought, please.
All right, but I'm out of time.
But
Christina, hang on. I'm going to talk to you when we get off the air. So hang on. I'm actually going to talk to you, okay? So stay right there. If I could have taken the call earlier, I tried twice and we lost you, okay? So I'm out of time now, all right? I'm totally out of time. I got the end of the show. I've got to talk to your listeners. So stay on the line. I'm actually going to talk to you off the air, or you can call me tomorrow. Your choice. You talk to Andrew, and we'll set it up. Friends, we are in the most urgent situation we've ever been in the history of our ministry with an incredible opportunity to expand and reach more people, but we must meet present obligations, and whoever stands with us now, a generous anonymous donor who believes in us so much, is willing to sink tens of thousands of dollars to multiply every gift. So stand with us now. $100 becomes $150. $1,000 becomes $1,500. $10 becomes $15. Stand with us. If everybody does what they can, it'll make a difference. Call right now, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line, you know, the word is clear. We can vacillate, jump back and forth, have different opinions, but the word is clear. If we will hold to what is written, we will never go astray.